Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
Welcome to our program today. I'm glad you could join us. And if you'd like to follow along in your Bibles, I'll be preaching beginning with the book of Colossians, chapter 3 and verse 12. And I'm picking up where I left off last week on two messages concerning this subject, godly love and forgiveness. Last week I did part one, and I mainly talked about godly love and brought in forgiveness. And today I'm going to talk about forgiveness. This is part two. So if you didn't hear last week's, order that message or go to our website and listen to it. It's Godly Love and Forgiveness, part one. And this is part two. And I'm going to go back and read Colossians chapter 3. This was my text for last week's message. And I want you to look at this in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12. And this is the Apostle Paul writing by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And he's encouraging the Colossian believers to be kind and loving and forgiving of one another. And he tells them in verse 12, put on therefore as the elect of God. I explained that last week, but putting on means to embrace it, to believe it, to enact it. Put it on as the elect of God, holy and beloved. Those who are separated, loved of God, the elect of God, that's a believer whom God chose before the foundation of the world, put on bowels of mercy. That's compassion. That's a New Testament way of talking about compassion. Kindness, humbleness of mind, humility before God and before men. And understand now, just like the love that I talked about last week that nobody has by nature, true humility is something nobody has by nature. Because man, by nature, seeks ways of salvation from God based upon his works. And that's pride. We're not humble before God until he brings us to bow to his way of salvation based upon the works of Christ, the work of Christ, the blood of Christ, the righteousness of Christ. When God brings me by the Spirit in the new birth, convicting me of my sin. I'm a sinner. And here's what he convicts me of, that I have nothing, absolutely nothing, to recommend me unto God. Whatever, if God gives me any blessing or benefit of salvation, I don't deserve it and I don't earn it. It's totally up to his sovereign mercy based on the merits of the obedience unto death of Christ. His blood, his righteousness alone. That's humility, and that's what Paul's talking about. We have humility before God and before men. He says meekness, that's willing submission to God's will, to God's way, to God's word. And then put on long-suffering, that means putting up with a lot. And how do we do that? Verse 13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, he says, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. How am I to forgive people? How am I to forgive a brother or sister in Christ? Unconditionally. And I made the point last week, there are conditions, but hold on to that thought. And he says in verse 14, and above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond, the you might say the glue of perfectness, of completeness. That brings it to completion. And so this is godly love and forgiveness. And forgiveness of our sins, if we want to enjoy and be assured of the forgiveness of our sins from God, then we must look to Christ. And as I said, he said, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Talking about that forgiveness. The Bible teaches us in 1 John 4 and verse 10, it says, Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and gave His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And that is the basis of our love to one another as far as believers. And that's what he's talking about. Last week I brought out how there are different kinds of love. And what he's talking about here is this godly love, this charity, is between brethren in the faith. That's that love of God, that love that is concerned first and foremost for the glory of God. It's that love of Christ, that love to Christ and His truth. Do you love the Word of God? You cannot love God and not love the Word of God, because the Word of God identifies and distinguishes the true God from idols. And as I made this point, that man by nature does not love God. Understand this, man by nature loves his idea of God, but his idea of God naturally is an idol. It's a God likened to himself. God said, you thought I was one such as yourself, and you were wrong. God is high above us. And so God saves us. God saves His people, loves His people, His elect, not everybody without exception. He forgives, okay, based upon one condition that Christ fulfilled on the cross by His obedience unto death. So how are we to forgive one another? Unconditionally. But there are conditions for forgiveness. And Christ, but they're not on me, not on you, they're on Christ. Over in 1 John chapter 1, there's a verse that some people misread, misuse. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. It says, if we confess our sins, He, that is God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so people, they read that if passage, if we confess our sins. And there's a problem there, because people read these if passages and you say, well, see, there's the condition. The condition of my being forgiven is that I must confess my sins. That is not what this is teaching. In fact, up before this verse, he'd already talked about how the cleansing of sin, the forgiveness of sin, was only by the blood of Christ. There's the condition. But this is not a conditional if. Now mark this down. In the Bible, there are conditional ifs. If you do this, God will do that as a result. Okay? And then there are evidential ifs. In other words, if you do this, that gives evidence of. Now, do you understand that? You say, well, that's too complicated. Well, it better not be. Because how do I know the difference, for example, is if something is a conditional if or an evidential if? Well, the covenant, the gospel, determines what it is. Under the law of God given to Israel, that was a conditional covenant where God constantly told them, if you do this, if you obey my law, I will bless you. And that was temporal blessings. And you know what? That's conditional. But here's the point of that whole covenant. Israel failed. They failed to meet the conditions. And that gives us a testimony of man by nature. If God were to condition salvation on me, say, if you do this, God, as a result, will do this, I'd fail. So would you. And if you don't believe that, it's because the Holy Spirit has not convicted you of your sin. He hadn't shown you yourself. We're sinners. And sinners can only be saved by grace. And grace cannot be conditioned on that sinner. It's conditioned on Christ. The Bible says in Romans 5:21, as sin reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. And so, if this is conditional, I can tell you right now, none of us will be forgiven. But it's not conditional. It's evidential. And that's what he's saying here in 1 John 1, 9. If we confess our sins, that's an evidence that God has been faithful and just to forgive us our sins. It's kind of like when a baby is born. The first thing you want to see that evidences that baby's life is you want to see that baby breathing on its own. Now, the baby breathing on its own is not a condition the baby must meet in order to obtain life. The baby breathing on its own is an evidence that life has already been there. Life was in the womb. No use arguing when life begins. It begins in the womb, when God creates it. And the evidence of that life is when that baby is born. Actually, there's evidence even before that. The heartbeat, the movement, all of that. But when the baby comes forth from the womb, the evidence of life within that child is it breathes. And the breathing didn't cause life. It wasn't a condition that the baby had to meet to gain life. It's an evidence. And here's a sinner confessing his or her sins before God. Truly confessing now. Not just saying, you know, not just repeating a line from a pamphlet. Oh, I'm a sinner. Yeah, well, I'm a sinner. And here's what kind of sinner I am. God, Lord, if thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, who would stand? That's the kind of sinner I am. If God were to charge me with my sin, if He were to impute sin to me, I would not stand. If He were to record one sin that I've committed, and I've committed more than one, a bunch of them, if He were to record them in His law books and hold them against me at judgment, I would be damned forever. But thank God, because of what Christ did, all right, God is faithful and just to forgive me, and He will not charge me with my sin. I quote it all the time. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Who can condemn us? It's Christ that died. It's God that justifieth. It's Christ that died. God does not impute sin to His people. You know what He imputes to them? What He charges to them? The righteousness of Christ. Christ who was made sin for us. Christ who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. I have righteousness. I have a perfect righteousness. But it's not anything I did. It's not anything I contributed to. It's all Christ. And so if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. So now that is unconditional forgiveness towards God's people. Now, that's the way that we're to forgive one another. That's the way if you're an unbeliever, if you're an unbeliever, you are not my brother or sister in Christ. But I'm still to forgive you unconditionally. I'm to love my enemies. That's what the Bible says. But if you're a believer and you're my brother or sister in Christ, oh, how I'm to forgive you. Even as Christ has forgiven me unconditionally. Let me take you to a couple of passages of Scripture that I think puts it in perspective for us. Turn to, if you want to look at it in your Bibles, this is Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18, and look at verse 21. And this is where the Apostle Peter came to the Lord. It says in verse 21, "Then came Peter to him," to Christ, "and he said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? And then Peter said, till seven times? Is seven times enough? Is seven times the limit? And look at Christ's answer to him in verse 22. Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Well, is he saying literally 77 times is the limit? No. He's telling Peter and the apostles, the rest of the disciples, that there is no limit to how we are to forgive our brothers and sisters in Christ. If my brother sins against me, how many times am I to forgive? If he sins against me 7 times, 70 times 7, how many times am I to forgive him? Infinitely. Infinitely. There's no limit to it. There's no limit to it. And if you, we're going to look at Luke 17 just in a minute. But you know what? And Christ gives us some more information there as Luke records it. And basically, Peter hearing that and the disciples hearing that, he says over in Luke 17, "Lord, increase our faith." And what he's saying there is that, man, I can't do that but by the Spirit of God. You know how we're by nature, the flesh, we hold grudges. We want vengeance. Our first, we have to fight the warfare of the flesh and the spirit in this matter, don't we? If we're believers. We have sinful flesh to deal with that wants vengeance, that wants to get back at people, that justifies our hatred and our bad feelings. No, he said, fight that. He says, you've been given a gift by the grace of God, and that's forgiveness. And here's the thing about it. Peter asked, he said, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Well, think about this. How oft shall I sin against God and he forgive me? I sin against God every day. And if you're honest, you'd say the same thing. But there is no limitation to God's forgiveness of me because he loves me and sent his son to die for my sins. And he doesn't charge me with those sins. And there's no limitation to his mercy. There's no limitation to his grace and his love towards his people. Now those who go through life in unbelief and die in unbelief, God does have a matter against them. He does charge them with their sins. Why? Because they don't have Christ. They don't have a Redeemer. They don't have a Savior. They don't have a Mediator. They don't have a righteousness that answers the demands of God's justice. But if you're in Christ, you're washed in His blood, you're clothed in His righteousness, and there's no limitation to His mercy and His forgiveness of your sins. And it's all based upon what Christ accomplished in His obedience unto death as the surety, the substitute, and the redeemer of His people. How many times has God forgiven me? I can't count them. So how many times am I to forgive my brother or sister in Christ who sinned against me? There's no limitation. And it's to be unconditional forgiveness. Unconditional forgiveness. But now let's go over to Luke chapter 17. And let me read you this. And some scholars say, well, this was another time that Peter asked this question. Or the disciples ask it. Some say that Luke just gives more information because however the Spirit revealed it to him. But in Luke 17 and verse 3, now I want you to notice something here. There's something a little different here, but it's the same the same issue and the same basic way of forgiveness, unconditional. And he says in Luke 17:3, "Take heed to yourselves, if thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him." And verse 4, he says, "And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day," a lot, "and seven times in a day, turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith." Now you remember back in our text, Colossians chapter 3, he talked about be long-suffering. How much are we to put up with? We're to put up with a lot. How much does the Lord put up with from us? He puts up with a lot. But here, listen to what the Lord said in the book of Luke. He said, "If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him." Now, does that mean is this opposed to what he said back in Matthew 18? Just forgive him? No, we're still to forgive him. But that unconditional forgiveness, now think about it, that unconditional forgiveness does not ignore or alleviate the problem itself. If your brother or sister trespasses against you, it's still a trespass. It's still a sin. Now, I'm to forgive him unconditionally. But there's still a problem there. You know, whenever there's a problem, or I have a problem, or somebody has a problem with me, I try to do several things. I try, number one, I try to examine myself and see, well, is there any problem that I caused? Is it my fault? Do I have a part in the problem that caused it? And if I did, I want to go and tell the brother or sister, I'm sorry. And I want to pray for God's forgiveness. But secondly, if I really find that I didn't cause it, and it's not that I'm perfect or anything, nothing like that, but it's truly that brother or sister's fault, then I'm still to forgive them unconditionally. But in order for fellowship between me and that brother or sister to be restored, they have to be rebuked. You did wrong. I forgive you. You did wrong, and you need to say you're sorry. And that's what he's talking about here. He's not talking about any conditions for forgiveness. We're to forgive each other unconditionally. But he's talking about things that have to be done to restore the joy of fellowship. And let me say one thing about that. The fellowship that exists between brothers and sisters in Christ can, technically speaking, can never be broken. That's a bond of union that God has set forth in Christ, and it can never be broken. But the joy and the warmth of that fellowship can be broken when a brother or sister does me or you or anybody wrong. And so he says, and if rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. Now, the forgiveness there is talking about the restoration of fellowship. It's not conditional forgiveness. Again, we're to forgive others as Christ forgave us. If he trespass against thee seven times in a day, turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostle said, Lord, increase our faith. So going back to our text now, Colossians chapter 3, what is all this about? Well, it's talking about seeking to be Christ-like in the way that we treat a brother or sister in Christ, with love and forgiveness, unconditional love, unconditional forgiveness. And again, I stress now, this is the kind of love that no sinner has by nature. This is the kind of love that God imparts or sheds abroad within the hearts of His people when He convicts them of sin and of righteousness and of judgment and brings them to Christ for all salvation. Seeing that God loves me and forgives me unconditionally because Christ in my stead, as my surety, my substitute, my redeemer, fulfilled those conditions. And what were those conditions? Well, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Over in the book of 1 John that I mentioned earlier, I mentioned it last week and mentioned it earlier in this message, in 1 John, when he talks about the forgiveness of sins. Listen again, and we need to stress this. He says in verse 6 of 1 John 1, if we say that we have fellowship with Him, with God, and walk in darkness, that is, walk in a lie, a false gospel, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, now this is an evidential if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Now, what cleanses me from all sin? The blood of Jesus Christ. Verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. I'm a sinner saved by grace, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, evidencing that He's been faithful to me and just to forgive me of my sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God must be just to forgive us. But when it comes to our relationship with one another, it's unconditional love, unconditional forgiveness, no question about it. And we have to war against the flesh. But the restoration, whenever a brother or sister trespasses against us, does something harmful to us, says something, all right, we're to forgive them unconditionally. But that doesn't deny the fact that we need to rebuke them. Tell them that was wrong. I was hurt by what you said or by what you did. And take inventory of ourselves. Did I have a part in that? Did I cause that? Did I hurt them? And if I hurt them, they have no reason or cause in the Bible to come back and hurt me with revenge. They're to forgive me. But if I had any part in it, then I need to be rebuked and I need to ask their forgiveness. But if they did, and if they did it to me, they need to be rebuked and ask my forgiveness, not as a condition for forgiveness. And I know he says, thou shalt forgive him, but that's talking about a restoration of fellowship here. One passage of Scripture doesn't deny the other. Unconditional forgiveness, unconditional love between brethren. But that's because of the bond of union. What are we? If we're brothers and sisters in Christ, we are all sinners saved by the grace of God. We sin against God daily. We need His forgiveness daily. His forgiveness is not based upon our confession or our feeling sorry. His forgiveness is based upon the blood of Jesus Christ, which cleanses us from all sin, me and all my brethren. I have one righteousness before holy God, and that's the imputed righteousness of Christ. I have no merit to plead before God. I can't say, God, forgive me and receive me because I'm better than another. I need His unconditional love and forgiveness. Hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program, or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.